Hey, fellow potential carriers, this is KJ. Welcome to our hashtag HowToWorkAnyway episode. Will it be the first of many, or outdated and boring in no time at all? We can only hope for the latter. And probably do a lot of sighing. But hey, as long as we're all going uber virtual, let me suggest spending some of your screen time at authoraccelerator.com. Get matched with a book coach, or look into becoming a book coach, the side gig many of us are perfect for, complete with social distancing. If you've got some unexpected downtime, maybe now's a good time to set yourself up to do something new.
Is it recording?
Now it's recording.
Yay!
Go ahead.
This is the part where I stare blankly at the microphone. Try to remember what I'm supposed to be doing.
All right, let's start over.
Awkward pause.
I'm going to rustle some papers.
Okay.
Now one, two, three.
Hey, I'm KJ Delantonia, and this is Hashtag Am Writing. Hashtag Am Writing is the podcast about writing all the things under all the circumstances. Fiction, nonfiction, proposals, pitches, emails. This is, in short, as I say every week, the podcast about sitting down and getting your work done.
And I'm Jess Leahy. I am the author of The Gift of Failure and the forthcoming Addiction Inoculation that'll be out in 2021. And yeah, I write at various places, including the New York Times, The Atlantic, and The Washington Post.
And I'm Serena Bowen, the author of 30-odd romance novels. And my newest one is going to be called Sure Shot, and it comes out in May.
When it, like, is an even number, are you going to start saying 30 even?
I don't know.
30 even romance number?
Do you know what? Do you know how many Sure Shot makes, by the way?
No.
Okay.
Oh, I just think it's amazing. It's an amazing number.
we love it. Well, I am KJ Delantonia. I am the author. Yes. Come on. You guys know who I am, but that's okay. I am the author of How to Be a Happier Parent and of the novel The Chicken Sisters, coming out in June of 2020, and super excited about that one. I also write for a number of other publications occasionally, including The New York Times. And we are recording this on March 15th, the Ides of March indeed, 2020, yeah. And the world has gone crazy, and so the title of this episode, as you guys know, because you all are listening, is hashtag how to write anyway. Yeah. Quick, guys, tell me how.
Well, at first I really resisted this topic because I didn't think that I was a very good advertisement for it. It just took me twice as long to do the final edits on a project because that's what happens when you refresh the New York Times homepage all day long.
Yeah.
And, you know, as we've been talking all week, anxiety was a problem. But then, well, I sort of settled down and got to this place of, okay, so this year is not going to go the way that I thought. And, you know, as we discussed this in March, we haven't been personally affected by everything that's happening yet. But still, it requires a big attitude adjustment, and as we all know, writing through an attitude adjustment is pretty tricky.
Actually, I think Jess and I would both differ with the haven't been personally affected.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's taken me... I'm finally getting to a good place today where I was in a holding pattern until I knew whether or not my speaking gigs were going to be canceled. And for me, I couldn't plan ahead until that happened. And people were taking, you know, really wanted to wait till the last minute to make those announcements. So for me, and because a lot of my travel sort of is a domino effect kind of thing, like, so when one thing gets canceled, then I was scrambling to plan the travel from somewhere else instead of where I was supposed to be. But it's actually been a relief in a way that now everything is canceled for the most part because I'm not having to constantly be playing catch up with, okay, well, so what next? So this week has been really emotionally challenging for me, not only because of, you know, the financial problems. You know, I make the majority of my income was coming this month. So that's been an adjustment. But for me, being able to get myself in the headspace of, okay, well, now is going to be for at home. That really was a big adjustment.
Right. And when I said we weren't affected, I meant we weren't coughing.
Right. Right, exactly.
Right. No, none of us is coughing. But I think we should own here, because they are universal and pretty gender neutral, the family challenges that we are dealing with. Jess has been struggling to get a family member out of Europe. Struggling, you know, but we are fortunate that we can do these things. I've got a house full of not just my kids, but extra kids, which I recognize is probably not going to happen for very much longer, because everything, major, major sporting events in their lives were canceled this weekend. And also, I'm coping with parents that are not worried enough about this, that are too far away for me to get to. So I'm not very happy about that. But it's stressful. This is super, super stressful.
Yeah.
So I initially wanted to do this so that you guys could help me. But I will say, after like Serena refreshing the news constantly, I did finally today manage to sort of get my head back around. Boy, it's also the little voices in my back of my head going, or am I writing a book about the olden times?
That's an interesting perspective.
Book that I'm writing, is it going to be super dated because nobody does anything this way?
Right.
Because I don't think so. We're going to get back to normal. We are. Yeah. But I can't
because people shake hands in your novel.
They do. They don't touch feet. I'm pretty sure they do shake hands.
What's really interesting,
they
also
go to a football game. In my novel, people go to a football game.
What's also really interesting, from my perspective at my house, full disclosure, is that my my husband is helping run the task force in Vermont. That's doing incident. There's sort of this thing called incident command. So he's, even when he's home, he's fielding these conference calls and his pager's going off constantly. And so my husband will not be able to stay home during this period. And so there's the added sort of thing where I feel like, oh my gosh, I need to keep him as healthy as possible. And so I'm, making sure we have healthy meals and making sure he gets enough sleep and, the chaos that would especially once we get our other kid home, the chaos that could happen in our house can't really happen because we do have to keep someone on the straight and narrow and healthy and going to work every day. So that's been interesting too.
It's all, interesting. These are the interesting times for which the Chinese famously cursed one
another. That is true. And...
because that's the best description for it. I loved what you said the other day, Serena. Everything is different, nothing is different. And that's kind of, fortunately, where we are, at least for the moment. So I threw this topic out on our Facebook page, at #AmWriting on Facebook, and am getting calls for and requests and commentary on basically the real nitty-gritty of this. Like, how are we doing this if the kids get quarantined? How are we moderating our news intake? How are we trying to maintain our focus? So anybody got that? Serena, you sound like you kind of pulling it back together. Do you have any good
first
tips? Launch something. Launch us off.
First of all, we're going to, and we never do this, just shut off the internet at our house for a few hours every day.
I heard you say that yesterday, and I thought, oh, we're going to need to do that too, assuming that people are going to be home, which they are sooner or later, I think.
I got an alert on my phone today saying that my internet usage had gone way up, and I was like, oh, that was a nice little alert to remind me that I need to keep the lid on that. So I love your idea, Serena.
Well, I would just like to remind us, because this comes up from time to time, that when you're writing a book, there's a certain amount of cognitive dissonance that happens anyway. There's the world inside your book where you have to put your head. And then there's the world of your family and everything else that's going on. And I'm constantly, constantly struggling to maintain two realities at once. And now we've got a third one. It's like life inside my house has actually not changed all that much yet. But the world is blowing up in various other ways. So now I feel like the burden just went up 50%, like of all the things I have to keep track of. And shutting off the internet for a few hours every day helps. It eliminates one of those vectors.
I love it. I really, I think that'll be a relief. You know, that sort of exhalation that happens when first you panic and you're like, wait, where to go? And then you go, that's kind of nice.
Yeah.
It will also stop what is continually happening for me, which is that I get my head into the space where I need to be, and then someone bursts in shrieking, the NHL just suspended its season.
Right.
And then I take a deep breath and I get my head back where it needed to be, and then someone bursts in shrieking, Cardigan's not going back to school until April 26th. Literally, don't you feel like you're just walking through your life carrying like a box with a little punching glove on like one of those cartoon punching gloves. And every time I turn, someone just punches me. And I think we all feel like that. And we're punching each other. It's not like I don't immediately grab my phone and text you guys the exact same thing. Someone just knocked me off.
Right.
I forgot to pay at the grocery store yesterday because while I was paying, one of my kids opened up their phone and said, hey, such and so, you know, and I tried to walk out. And they were like,
oh, dear.
They're like, oh, no, I did not mean to do that.
Oh, well, the economy is also going to hit us a little bit. Like, I feel so bad for anyone who's launching their once a year, once every 2 year, 3 year book right now.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to get.
We have some people like that in the Facebook group. And it's hard to get news.
It's hard to get attention.
In-person stuff. Yeah.
And you also feel bad for asking for that attention too. Like there's the guilt factor. Like nobody likes to run around shouting about their own book all the time, but it's even harder when, you know, when people are sick.
Well, we need other things to talk about. Right?
If
you've got a nonfiction book on a different topic, we need that. And we certainly need escapist fiction.
Sure.
If you're in that position and you've got that book, go ahead.
Yeah.
Tell us about it thoughtfully, you know, acknowledging. And we may both be, well, you're in that. You will be because Sure Shot's coming out any minute. It's not your once in a year thing, but still.
Well, you know, so here's the thing. I just had to adjust my expectations, and that was quite difficult because I have real-time data about what distraction is doing to book sales. So we're recording this on a Sunday. Yesterday was a Saturday, which is usually like the second best book-selling day in the week for me. And I was down 19% week over week yesterday. And the day before that was Friday, and I was down 22% week over week. So those are real numbers that are going to pile up and affect my bottom line eventually. But I'm, as you mentioned, sort of insulated because I have more than one release a year, and that Sure Shot is part of a series, and the people who are reading that series are going to probably wake up and see it. You know, so there's a little less selling I have to do, and a smoother book selling curve for me than for other people. So I feel the most pain for those whose curve is not smoothable.
Well, and can I clarify for those who are not as familiar with sort of how Serena sells her books and how we sell our books. So if I wanted to get the information that Serena has available at her fingertips, I really can't because my publisher holds on to that information. And even if I wanted to go through BookScan or something, that's not all the information and it's behind. But because Serena
You could go not to the all author of it. Portal. I mean, it's not necessarily super accurate, but it's there.
But I just wanted to clarify that because Serena is
she is
the publisher. So she has up-to-date, minute-to-minute data on her own book sales, which is really interesting to have. And for someone especially like Serena who loves data, it's a really cool thing to be able to look at.
Well, there's this other idea.
I'm looking at, go ahead.
In economics called an inferior good. And friends, I don't like to refer to us as inferior if I can help it, but an inferior good is something that people buy when they can't buy more expensive things. So the classic example of an inferior good in economics is bus tickets. Poor people buy more bus tickets than rich people in general. But books could, in a pandemic, behave like an inferior good where people buy more of them because they can't buy the more expensive thing they want, which is like a trip to Italy.
Well, that would be nice. And I'm hoping for that. But we also have the problem of where the people are going to hear about the books.
Right.
So, you know, I am the once a year release at best. And I'm not out till June 30th, so I'm super hopeful that by June 30th, for one of a couple of possible reasons, I will still be able to get out there and do my book tour, and people will be wanting to grab books for their beach bags, and they'll be going to the beach, but we don't know. And this is the moment when booksellers would be ordering my book. And booksellers are in big trouble. Independence. So that is definitely... I am not without worry. I mean, I've got a stack of books that I've addressed to all the indie bookstores in Kansas and a bunch of other indies, and I wrote the notes last week, and now I'm like, oh, those are out of date now. Doesn't mean I'm not going to send them. I guess I'll put a post-it on them or something. I don't know. Well, but they are. Like, the world has changed dramatically. So I'm feeling very... I'm still feeling hopeful, but definitely a little bit of worry. And I guess, but here's a small, I'll probably do a little, will I do less launch related stuff? No, that would be bad because I think this is still, I have reason to think it could still go the way that I would like it to go. And if it doesn't, the social media stuff I will still need. I'm trying to see if there's like a silver lining in which I get more time to work on the other new book. Yeah, I'm not really seeing that. Sorry.
I'm planning to use...
No, here's a silver lining. With all sports canceled, I'm doing a lot less driving. That is definitively more time. And since my kids are older, once I get them in the habit of doing something useful, then yeah, it is more time.
And hey, you won't have to pick anyone up from school perhaps in a couple weeks.
That's right. I'll just have to make sure they actually do their schoolwork and deal with the fact that if there are three people trying to be in Zoom classrooms in my household, the odds that I can record a podcast are going to be extremely slim. And they'll all be running in shrieking, my Zoom classroom will work because that person's Zoom classroom is sucking up all the internet. Yeah. It's gonna be a good time. Well, okay, speaking of podcasts, this is not how to work anyway.
Yeah, but speaking of podcasts, actually, this is really interesting, and this is about how to work anyway, because I was supposed to be on two podcasts next week that are in-person podcasts. They sort of really pride themselves on being in-person podcasts, and it's still up in the air, but those probably are not going to happen. So I have to say, we are so ahead of the curve because we tend to, we tend to record online, so... We've been, social distancing since the beginning.
Since before it was cool.
Social distancing. Exactly. Exactly. I have been wondering to myself whether, as we record podcasts, people are going to want us to touch on this with the people that we're writing with. And listeners, I would love some input on this. I have a feeling that I'm going to want my podcasts to be fairly virus-free.
Yeah.
But, you also don't want to sound like you were recording in some alternate reality, which we were, and several upcoming podcasts that you're going to hear. And I'll probably say something at the top of the episode. I'm definitely going to want my podcasts to be non... I would prefer them not to be that punching glove that comes out of the box. So
I think that's a good plan.
I don't know what balance we'll strike there. Yeah.
I think we'll see as it plays out, but I think we want to be able to talk about how people are managing to get their work done and stick with that, but try not to harp too much on the bad stuff.
You know, a year from now, when people are listening to the backlist, they're like, "Oh yeah, them was the days."
Yeah, exactly. Well, I have to say, I'm very optimistic. I actually am, now that I'm making my mental shift away from, honestly, I've talked about this on the podcast before. This was going to be me on the road for pretty much the entire month of April and March and April. So now that I'm not, once I know that I'm not going to be, and P.S. in the back of my mind, my kid, I still have one kid out of pocket. I need one more kid to come home before my brain can finally settle into being able to work very well. But once that happens, I'm shifting to new book proposal. So that's been my plan. That was my plan.
That's going to happen a lot faster now.
I can move that up. And now that my edits are pretty much done for the substance abuse book, I can sort of mentally put that away for a little bit and make room for the new book. So in a way, that's really exciting for me. I'm really, you know me, I love the deep dive into the research, and that's where I have to start with the book proposal. So that's where my brain is going to be very much for the next couple of months. And, you know, my speaking stuff will get rescheduled maybe in the fall. We'll see. But for now, I've got to let that go and move on with what is rather than what is, you know, could have been. I have to let go of that regret in order to be present for the stuff that is on the table in front of me.
And what you're basically saying is that goals episode we recorded so recently.
Oh, right.
We're definitely revisiting those things. And there's this temptation to look at those goals for the year and think, what was the point of this?
Yeah.
But of course, there was a really good point to that. And even if we all end up like ripping that page right in half, it doesn't mean it wasn't a useful exercise for establishing our priorities and what we hope to get done.
Absolutely.
And that kind of attitude adjustment is what I'm trying to hang on to. I was just looking at my goals for March only, and I just added at the bottom, like, get through March and April with sense of humor intact, because that suddenly became the most important thing.
That is a very good goal. Yeah, I am thinking that, you know, an interesting side thought about this is that nothing about my work life or work goals changes because of this. Like, there's nothing that I was previously expected to, other than, you know, a few small travel things. There's nothing that I was previously expected to do that I am now not expected to do. There's nothing that I should let go or put off. Everything stays the same. It's just I am going to have to look at it and go, okay, well, my time is going to be different because there is both the mental coping with this and the you know, if/when I have three kids homeschooling all day, even no matter what the schools provide, that's going to be, you know, that's going to be on us to some extent. So yeah, it's a revisiting.
But you might have to revisit with the project you're working on too. Like, I write pretty fluffy books and people keep saying, but we need your fluffy books. But the truth is, I don't know if I can be all that optimistic and write like a first kiss scene this week.
Right.
I might have to pick up a different project instead and shuffle some things around because I'm maybe not in the headspace for the things that I thought I was going to be in the headspace for.
I always like, there was a tweet or a text that you sent us one time about the fact that it was really, really hard to write a sex scene when your kids were home from school and in the next room. So I can imagine that's the headspace you have to be in sometimes to write, you know, your books is not having, you know, a lot of clamor and kids around the house is not conducive to that.
Well, I think not sticking this into our work is going to be, I mean, you know, the emotions are going to creep in, so maybe choosing things that emotionally are going to resonate. But, you know, we don't need an entire 6 months from now, we're not going to need the entire world to be nothing but essays about your experience with this. And nobody's going to want to take those. Let's just, unless you have some, all right, and I did have a particular experience, and I did write an essay about it, but unless you have a particular expertise or something very particular going on, the moment when anybody's going to want to hear about this has already expired. Other than sort of in your own personal, you know, in your email, if you have a weekly email or in your personal social media. Anyway, I think we have to sort of try not to let this take over what we're working on.
Definitely.
That's what personal journals are for. We can write about how we're grappling with all our stuff in our own personal writings all we want, but that does not mean that we need to have published, you know, 3,000 essays on, you know, how I'm personally coping with the, you know, loss of income and kids being home and all that stuff.
I need to write some essays. They just are going to have to be about something else.
Yeah.
It's a time. So yeah. Some of the stuff that I'm hearing on our Facebook group is, you know, get up. It's stuff we've talked about before. It's the same thing. I guess this is just like writing during NaNoWriMo and trying to do it during Thanksgiving when you have your whole family home. You know, get up early, take advantage of the small bursts. you know, for me today, I was like, okay, an hour. I just want an hour. And I admit to watching the clock, but I didn't take any internet connected. Well, I have my laptop, but I turned off the internet and I was like, just an hour, just going to do an hour. And you know, if you pull yourself back to it for an hour, you are going to progress. And 3 months from now, 2 months from now, 6 months from now, whatever, we're going to want to have progressed.
Yeah, I was actually thinking today about how that works best for me. And for me, that means writing deadlines that I am, you know, self-imposed writing deadlines. And of course, I have very few. I have two book reviews, one that's due in 2 days and one that's due in about a month. So I have those deadlines, but I think I'm going to need to sit down and get back to my calendar and create some deadlines for myself around this book proposal so that I can feel like I'm staying on some sort of track rather than just floundering about and thinking, oh, I have all this, you know, time to write because I'm actually home. I need to have some structure. So self-imposed deadlines for me are my structure. And sometimes that means, and this is always a little risky for me, but sometimes that means that I email my agent and I say, look, my self-imposed deadline to have this to you is X date. And then I actually put it on my calendar, send, you know, X to my agent by this date. And that helps keep me. And sometimes it's just telling you. If I tell you and KJ and Serena, you know, that I really want to have this done by, oh, could you ask me about this a week from Friday? That helps too.
And I also observe that the disappearance of this is a little bit like when summer descends upon one. If our kids are out of school, and even for me with the disappearance of all the extracurricular activities, what had been a fairly regimented schedule of, you know, every day there would be 4 or 5 very set things. So then I was slotting stuff in around it. That creates a structure for me that I rely on more than I know. So when that structure suddenly disappears, it is entirely possible for an entire day to waffle away into nothingness because I didn't have to get someone to school at 8 and therefore did not have to sit down immediately when I got home to get. So I'm thinking about ways to create to rebuild that schedule for me and probably for the other people in my house. And I think, Serena, your 2 hours without the internet is going to be good. I'm thinking about putting together some daily I exercise every day anyway, but if I put it on the schedule and sort of make it something I have to work around, I think that is going to help me.
That's been tricky, actually, for me.
I'm looking for some other interesting goals to set up.
My yoga studio that I like to go to with my I go to every night with my husband and my kid. We've been going for the past couple weeks to get ourselves back into it, and I'll get the whole family going to yoga again, which we love. Yoga studio's closed. So it turns out there's some great online options. And so, you know, I'm just having to sort of insist that we keep that routine up, except we do it here instead of out there. And I think that's going to help me with my sanity, too, because it would be really easy to let that fall.
Well, and it weirdly might be better to find an option where you're actually watching something live. Like at 6, we must all gather here to do this thing that we want. I mean, I'm just, that would be better for me. So I'm trying to put things on my schedule that are, you know, at 5, I'm doing this, and at such and such, I'm doing that, because that just gets my brain into that working space.
Yeah. There are various ways to do that live thing too. And it's nice because you sort of feel like because the people are there in real time. If you have Peloton, YouTube, there's some online yoga people and some online exercise people that have these sort of real time classes. And it really makes you feel like you're actually there and present with those people as opposed to, it's a good thing.
Yeah. Well, there's a community thing going on, which we're all desperately going to need, probably.
You know, I was in a book club in New York City. Let's see. I left it 11 years ago, I guess. And I just got a text yesterday from my friend Barbara who said, listen, we're doing book club on Zoom now. And look, it's like 6 of the same people from 20 years ago. Are you in?
And that's awesome.
Isn't that's
it?
So
I was
cool.
Like, oh, you're a genius.
Okay. So that's a brilliant idea. Book clubs, create a virtual date with your, and we could have, you could have a Zoom writing club too. We could co-work. and sit here with our laptops, you know, able to see each other in the various screens. That would be another way to do it, a co-working date, or even a, you know, text somebody go and then text somebody stop every morning. That would, yeah, that's, but that's really cool. I like that.
I moved away from these women 10 and a half years ago. So I'm just so excited. Like I lost touch with them completely. So this will be one weird way that I get those friends back that I wasn't going to otherwise.
Well, everybody start a silver linings list.
Yep. Yep. There it is. That's my first entry.
Well, here's my other silver lining. Hopefully we will have more time to read.
I actually picked up a few books yesterday just for that reason.
Oh, I have picked up so many books, and I'm actually meeting a friend to have coffee at the bookstore while keeping 6 feet apart and washing our hands and doing all the things because we want to support the bookstore, and I'm pretty sure I'll come home with a few more books. So tell me what to buy. What have you guys got? I guess this is kind of about, like, what are you buying to stock up? Because,
well, I can start because I bought books yesterday. I bought a book. So when I was little, I was positive, absolutely positive that I was going to be a cetacean biologist. I was going to be a whale scientist. And I was obsessed with whales. And I haven't read anything about whales in a long time. And so I bought a book by this guy, Nick Pyonson. I hope I spelled that or pronounced that right. He's actually the curator of marine mammals and fossils at the Smithsonian Museum of Natural History. And he has a book called Spying on Whales. And it's about whales today and whale fossils and all that kind of cool stuff. So I'm reading about whales. I'm reading, I decided to listen yesterday when I was working in the woods. I was listening, re-listening actually, to Diana Nyad's book, Find a Way, about when she swam across the, Key West to Cuba. And it's an incredible, incredible story. And I listened to it first a long, long time ago. So I'm noting an escapist kind of like go other places kind of thing, because if I'm going to be in my house and in my yard for the most part, I want to be other places. I want to be underwater with whales, and I want to be, you know, in Florida, swimming to Cuba, that kind of thing. So I'm definitely on an escapist jag at the moment. Other places.
Well, speaking of the, you know, the box with the punching glove in it, I flipped over my phone to look at the name of a book, and I just got a text that was, game canceled tonight, let me know what to do. Just stop! People, just stop! Just stop! Okay, I'm still looking for the book name because I got socked, so. What you got?
I'm about to buy a copy of The Mirror and the Light, the new Hilary Mantel.
Oh, I want to hear what you have to say, because I'm really excited about that, too.
You know, I'll probably let Mike read it first because he has been checking her website every month for like 5 years. but eventually, yeah, I can't wait.
Okay, well, these are things that I have bought that I am eyeing. Amanda Eyre Ward's The Jet Setters. I actually bought it, and I'm super excited about that. And then we've got a couple of I've got a bunch of ARCs because, and then somebody just texted me again, stop it! How can I look at my picture of books if you keep doing this? I don't care what's canceled. I don't care. I'm super excited about Motherland by Leah Frankie. I think that comes out, let me make the picture a little bit bigger. Oh, that's not out till July. Sorry, people. I'll let you know how it goes. But there's a lot. There's a really lot of good stuff out there now. So go to your bookstore, buy some of it. Tell us what it is, and if you like it, we'll have like Am Writing Facebook page book group.
And please don't forget, You can order directly from your local bookstore. In fact, I saw, it was interesting, I saw there was someone on Twitter who owns a bookstore. Oh, shoot, I can't remember where it was, but she was saying that they were actually hoping to set up delivery to people that they could, so they could leave books in their mailbox or on their doorstep for books they had ordered from the bookstore so that they could expand their sales beyond just, you know, okay, if people aren't coming to our store, we'll deliver to you. So check to see if that's an option.
Well, the guest Serena and I interviewed a couple of days ago, but which you, listeners, will be hearing next week, probably, or possibly the week after, said that Politics and Prose in D.C. is doing free shipping. So some of the bigger indies may be able to do that. And I know my bookstore, Still North in Hanover, New Hampshire, and also Norwich Books in Norwich, you can call them up and say, I would like a copy of Don't Overthink It by Anne Bogle. That's another one that I actually, I'm going to be looking for that at the bookstore today. And, you know, such and such by someone. And so can I just pay you on the phone and you could put those in a bag and, you know, when I pull up, I'll roll down my window and you can come drop them into my car. They will totally do that. They will absolutely do that. And, you know, we got to think these are our people out there with the bookstores.
Yeah.
We want to take care of them as best as we can while we're taking care
also,
of ourselves.
Also, can I just add, also keep an eye out for what books are coming out. If you normally find out about new releases because you go to a bookstore, keep an eye out for what's coming out week to week. I know, for example, not that she's going to need much help, but, you know, Glennon Doyle's book came out last week and she had a huge national tour planned to promote the book and get out there and do signings and stuff, and the entire tour has been canceled. So, you know, there are people who are putting books out and aren't able to go out and promote their own books. So keep an eye out for new releases and buy those.
We will try to do some little new release
yeah.
in all our spare time. Let's try to do some new release updates on the Facebook page. On my Instagram, I'm constantly doing new books. That's at KJDA. Serena does too. She's always got, you know, especially if you love the romance genre, she's got that all over her stories. She's at Serena Bowen. We're gonna try to be noisy about keeping the reading going, keeping our link to that strong.
Yeah, especially since I think that you normally my kids' excuse for not reading for pleasure at home is, but I was reading so much at school today. But if he's going to be out of school, then I'm going to make sure he has quiet reading time with the internet off at my house. So we will be promoting
Sounds
that as well.
Like a
so
plan.
Anyway, all right, we good, everybody?
We're as good as we can be, I think.
That's true. All right, everyone.
Hey, if you would like to get an update in your email inbox every time we release a new episode, you can sign up for that at amwritingpodcast.com. It's going to invite you at that point to support the podcast. And while we would love your support, if you just click no subscription at this time, you'll be signed up for the free weekly emails, and that's fine. We love that too. Please do it. There's usually something extra in the emails, depends on the week. And if you do want to support the podcast, as I think Jess said recently, we're gonna maybe use again some of that extra spare time that Jess kind of has. Let's don't call it spare. To create things to keep us all on track and to keep us working that we'll send out to hashtag AmWriting supporters.
Sounds good.
Okay, I'm done talking about that.
All right. Until next week, everyone, stay healthy, stay safe, keep your butt in the chair and your head in the game. The hashtag AmWriting podcast is produced by Andrew Perilla. Our intro music, aptly titled Unemployed Monday, was written and played by Max Cohen. Andrew and Max were paid for their time and their creative output because everyone deserves to be paid for their work. Pause. Stop. Stop. Thank you.